one second.
Okay. Good evening. Tonight we'll discuss the last Ikar of the Rambam, which is Resurrection Tchias Meisim. For that, I want to discuss one other point about Mashiach. Now, this is a side point dealing with a citation of the Rambam by the Ramban in his dispute with Pablo Christiani in 1263, the famous Barcelona disputation. And, you know, Pablo had a very cunning scheme. He wanted to demonstrate from different Midrashim that, you know, the Mashiach had already come, meaning, according to his view, Jesus. So the Ramban, of course, disputes that, and one of the famous points of the Ramban is that we're not mechuyev to believe all agaditas, right? And so then Pablo said, aha, you see, he is denying his own books.
Pablo
was of Jewish origin. Then he went over to the other side. And so he was a very dangerous adversary. In fact, Jeremy Cohen wrote a book called The Friars and the Jews. He said that was Pablo's whole plan. Pablo's plan was to force the Ramban into what in chess is called a zugzwang. You don't have a way out. In other words, either he'll have to admit that certain midrashim could be understood in the Christian manner, or he'll have to do what the Ramban did, which is saying, well, I don't accept those midrashim. Maybe they could be understood, you know, in a non-literal fashion, like a Kabbalistic text is a secret, but I don't accept it. And that's exactly what the Ramban said. So, for example, Ramban didn't accept the literal interpretation of Midrash that Mashiach was alive during the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. No, Ramban already was living 1263. Mashiach, hasn't revealed himself to Klal Yisrael yet. Anyway, in the whole discussion, at one point, the Ramban writes that Mashiach, he agrees that Mashiach will not die like regular people do. We don't really care about that. I just want to care about the citation of the Rambam that Pablo writes. I'm going to quote from Rabbi Shavel's edition of the Kuach HaRamban. Obviously, in Kisvei HaRamban, Kisvei Moshe Ben Nachman, Krach Rishon, it's page 315. It says, B'yom HaChamishi, Achar Kach Orach Adoneinu HaMelech, the Ramban had enormous respect for King James of Aragon, and actually was very good to the Ramban. Makom avikuch beheicholo, b'mor sheyaseh b'tzina. Okay. Yoshalom pesach aheichol, u pasach pri Paul, that's Friar Paul, Pavel Christiani, b'divrei hevel, k'lohoyo lehem, inyan v'charkach omar, and this is important for us. Ani avi raya michocham godo shelohem, meaning from one of the big Jews. Lo hayelhem kamos hayom dalud meil shana. There was no one in the past 400 years as great as him. Friar Paul had made a lot of mistakes. Rambam's dates are 1138 to 1204. So the Rambam had died less than 60 years before the debate. Anyway, Ushmo Maestri Moshe di Gifti, and if they, whatever the manuscripts are, it refers to the Rambam. For who Omer, ki Mashiach Yamus, Mashiach's going to die. For Yimloch Beno, and then some manuscripts have a Ben Beno, Acharav. Ve'eno kasher magash lo Yamus kederach b'nei Adam. Now, again, I don't really care about the Rambam per se, but it's very interesting. Pablo was quoting the Rambam to say that, well, you know, the Rambam, who's so great, doesn't agree with you, the Ramban. This is a technique all debaters always use, right? We also will say, oh, there's so many different Christian sects arguing the other Christian sects, right? So you're saying, oh, you see, the Rambam disputes the point of the Ramban. The Ramban says that Ramban admitted that, I don't know if you call it admitted, but the Ramban says the Mashiach will not die like an average person dies, and Pablo says, oh, you have a great man named the Rambam that didn't agree with that. Mashiach's going to die, and then his son will be king, Mashiach's the king, he'll die, and then maybe his son's son. Now, we read the whole Sefer Shoftim last night, it wasn't there. Right, v'sha'al she'yavir lo Sefer Shoftim. Sefer Shoftim is the last of the 14 books of the Mishnah Torah. So Ramban writes, Amarti lefnehem ein b'sefer ha'hu kein. This would be great. Ramban is so careful. That passage you claim is not in Sefer Shoftim. Pablo was a smart guy, but he couldn't outfox the Ramban. Pablo said it's in which work of the Rambam? Sefer Shoftim. Then the Ramban writes, Avol ani modeh sheyesh v'chachamein omrim kein, kasher hizcharti tchila. Some say that way. Shavel refers us back to Simon Lamites. And okay, and he talks about a god that's there. Okay, I'm not going to read it right now. Shedas Sifrei Haggadah Kinola Biyoma Churban V'Yechiela Ola. Yes, the Haggadah to say that the and that's, you know, the Medrash Eicha, that he died the day of the Churban Beis HaMikdash and he will live forever. V'das Bali Apshat, not like that Haggadah, She Yivaleh Korov L'Keitz HaGeula, he will be born close to the time when the deliverance will happen. Yechye shanim rabos b'misbar v'yamus b'kavod v'yanchil kisro levno. That's the Bali Apshat. And Kfar Amarti, that's what I believe. Ki bo zeh ani ma'amin. V'ein bein olam hazeh v'mosa mashiach b'inyan zeh. Ran is so careful. B'inyan zeh ela shivan machios Bil Vad, which of course is exactly what the Rambam writes, Hilchos Melachim, Perikut Beis, Halacha Beis, which we've discussed. Now, talk about grace under pressure, right? Now remember, you're in a vikuach, you have to win, but you can't win too ostentatiously. Now, Shavel says, Hamesis Hazeh, Shomav Lurna Ma Shama. He says, Beseva Shoftim, Lesa Ma Shama. That's exactly what Ramban says. Baram, the Maimatrias Hamesim, the Ramon Perikvav, Kosmofurash, Imime Mashiach, Ola Funov, Ola Achar Moso. So there, you already have the idea that Mashiach is going to die like a regular human being. Hare Sharam Kosov, Shiomus Gdech, Bani Adam. But that's not a sufficient makar for what Pablo is quoting. Pablo is saying that the Rambam says that Mashiach is going to die and his son is going to live after him and his son's son. Right? Just read it, right? Sheyimlo. Pablo says, Hu omer ke Mashiach yamus yimloch b'no uven b'no acharov. Okay, let's go back to the Perish Mishais and Sanhedrin. Now, I'm going to read the Rambam, even though we read the 12th Ikar, but if you go back a few pages, four pages, he writes as follows. Okay, I'm not going to read the whole thing. Al Yimos HaMashiach Uzman Shabal Tachzer Machus Li Yisrael. The Achzeru Eretz Israel will be a Jewish kingdom. The Jews will go back to Israel. The also a Melech Omid Malkom Machusot Zion Yerushalayim. The Skalda Shmo. The Agiel Kitzvei Tevel Yosef. The Godal Mamlecha Shlomo. Be even more famous and more prominent than Shlomo. The Yichus Ami Imo Amim Bris Shalom. It's going to have peace treaties with the other countries. the Abdu call it Ratzos the Godel Tzidko, but he'll be, you know, it's like Pax Britannia. You know, they'll the Eretz Yisrael will be in charge. Neflos Yiskul Al Yado, V'chol Mishiyam Anulov Yachviseo Hashem, God will destroy his enemies, Yamsreya B'yado, V'chol Psukei HaMikro Me'idim Al Ashro V'ashreinu Bo, V'lo Yishadam B'metzios, here it is again, no difference will happen in terms of the laws of physics. V'lo Yishadane B'metzios Shum Dovar Mikafi Shu Ata Zula Si Shetei HaMachus L'Yisrael, V'chein Lashon Chachamim. Ein bein olam azel imos ha-mashiach le-shivan machlios bilvad. V'yisharu be'imov ha-chazok v'ha-chalosh b'yachaz le-zulaso. Right, it's still going to be these distinctions. Ela, shabos v'yomim, it's going to be easier to make a living. And that's the pshat the Rambam's going to say, and all those agathas that say it's going to be magic flowers and everything. Tukal b'ni odo parnos ha-zamor. It's a metaphor. Ad, shek she-yavo da-odom ezavo da-mu'etes. So you'll have great whatever hydroponics and all these remarkable agrarian advances, right? Was there Indian Amram Asida Erzolhotzi Gluskos who claim Milas, right? You don't have cakes growing, you don't have sponge cakes growing from the ground, but and that's the nature of the metaphor. Fish derch bli adam lomar es matzadam es a davar muchan b'shefa. He says, in his time, someone, if it's easy for someone to produce something, he says, oh, I found baked bread. So it's a metaphor. Matzo ploni lechem ofoi v'tashem avushol. V'rayla zeh, ma'amar kosov v'nei necho ikarchem v'karmechem. The other pasuk says that the non-Jews are going to be your farmers, so that show is still going to need farming. Mashra yeshe'e shabach chorish v'katzir. V'rayla fikach kosach chacham hazeh, that's Rabban Gamliel, Shama said, "Varma lolo al tamido beishlo hevi midvars in yan hazeh." His student didn't understand what he was talking about. V'chashav shedvarm kipshutan. So what can you do? Rabbi Gamliel then gave him an answer, which read the Gemara in there in Pegbam Likin. It seems to imply that Rabbi Gamliel did indeed believe that there's going to be a miracle. Rabbi says, "No, that's not pshat." Rabbi Gamliel just answered him, "Heshvil fi erech hasagasa," according to his other person's weak intellect, "lo zosi atshuva." You don't answer a fool truthfully, right, because of his foolishness. What's the point in Mos Mashiach? Because we are in Galus, in Spain, in Aragon, in Egypt, in Morocco, wherever we are, wherever the Ram was in his life, he knew that he could not have full peace to engage himself in his religious philosophic quest. But when Mashiach will come, v'tir b'hadas k'vosha amar k'imol aris deyos Hashem v'yivsiku hakrovos, no more wars on the chomos k'vosha amar v'lois agar l'gar cherev v'yasig kol mishiyav osan ayavim shlemus gadol yizkebol chayolam haba. Now here it is. Perish HaMishnah, Perish Mishnayis, V'Mashiach Yamus, V'Yimloch B'no, U'Ven B'no, U'Kvar Bir Hashem Ismoso, Oma Loikev L'Ruz Aysim Aris Mishpat, and only then will he die. V'Tazvid Machusos Zman Rav Ma'od, V'Gam Yarchu Chaye B'nei Adam, and who knows, maybe Yimosef Shiach will be 1,000 years, Ki Be'eder Adagos V'Tzaros Yarchu Chayim. Bein zem muzar she tasvid malchuso alfe shanim. Fisha chomek var omru she akibus hanichbun kashem eskabis man hu she isboret. So Dr. Schnell Lyman said, you have to imagine what's going on here. Remember, the Ramban is under the gun. You know, it's like, when I was a kid, I remember Kissinger said, you know, the Israel has to win the Yom Kippur War, but it couldn't win it too ostentatiously. That was his whole cheshbon. So here also, the Ramban had to win the debate, but he couldn't win it, you know, too ostentatiously, but he still had to win, and he certainly couldn't be caught wrong in anything. So Pablo was saying, you know, by the way, there's even a dispute among you Jews. You're saying the, you know, Mashiach maybe will never die, but you have a very great man, the Rambam, greatest man in 400 years. And he said, He said that Mashiach is going to live, then he's going to die, then his son will be Mashiach, then his son will die, and then Ben Beno is going to live. So Ramban, cool, calm, collected, says, it's not there. So they bring a Sefer Shoftim, they go through the Prakim we did, presumably uncensored version, even that had about the Jesus and Muhammad, but that prat is not there. That prat that says that Mashiach is going to live and die, you know, just again, it's like, you know, the Ramban, you know, Havdil, but another area, you know, he'll put down the Balamor even in side points, just to make sure who has the shlita, who has the utter total control over the material, right? And then so the Ramban says it's not there, right? Of course, where is it? It's right here. We just read it in Perish HaMishnayos. So Pablo was right. Right? He made a mistake that many, many Talmid Chachamim sometimes make. They'll quote a Rambam here, it's really a Rambam there. So he knew what he was talking about. Right? But, you know, Ramban would not want to... he's not going to say, oh, Taki, you're right, but it's over there. He just says, it's not there. Okay, Ramban was a master.
But
it's not there. Let's read again, just to... where is it? Shin Tesvav.
But the same source says that his son will live.
Many. Right.
That also doesn't completely work for Pablo.
Right. No, but he just wanted to show that Jews. Excuse me, one second. Shouldn't have closed it so quickly. Right? Vishal said, please do me a favor, you Jews, give me Sefer Shoftim. And Shevilo Sefer Shoftim. So Matalafnehem Ain Besefer Hahu Kane. So Ramban was faithful to God. He didn't lie. He didn't lie to anyone. But he showed Pablo was wrong. Okay, I thought that's an interesting, amazing display of the Ramban's style. Okay. Now, I read this passage from a few pages before in the Perek Chelek. It's also going to be relevant to the last Ikar. We'll do some of it at least tonight. Now, we do not have here copies of every one of Maimar Tchiyas HaMesim. So let me begin the disclaimer. A full treatment of the last Ikar of the Rambam would have to really entail reading and analyzing his Igeres on Tchiyas HaMesim. That's not doing it. Maybe God said we could do it another time. But let's just read the last Ikar and we'll discuss it briefly. It's the shortest Ikar in the Perish Mishnayos. Vayisol HaShlosha Asar Tchiyas HaMesim Ukfar Biarnuhu. So, what do you mean he explained it? So, Achad Ha'am, in his essay, Shulton HaSechel, aha! Yeah, Ukfar Biarnuhu. You're pulling the wool over our eyes. Because you only discussed Olam Haba. So, this goes back to the charge that even though the Rambam says that there is Tchiyas HaMesim, what does a Tchiyas HaMesim mean? So the charge has, and still is being made, Ada Yom Hazeh, that the Rambam really did not believe in Tchiyas HaMesim. What he did believe is in Olam Haba, equal immortality of the soul, equals eternity of the intellect. Now, the first thing I just want to say is, you just go back those four pages. I remember that whole passage about he talks about Moshe Mashiach. So, in that part of Perek Chelek, before he gets to the Ikrim, he talks a little about Tchiyas HaMesim also. So it's not true, and so many people just say this in a very glib fashion. It's not true that the Rambam does not discuss Tchiyas HaMesim at all. I'm going to read the paragraph. It's four pages before in Rav Kapach. U'Tchiyas HaMesim Yesod Miyesodos Toras Moshe Rabbeinu. Ein das v'ein kesher im ha'umah ha'yehudis l'mi she'eino mamin b'kach. Ella, but it's not for everyone. Shehilat tzadikim. V'lashom v'reshis rabbah, gvuras geshomim l'tzadikim ula rishayim. This is parallel to the Christian saying, it rains on the just and on the unjust. Okay, and Charles Schultz, the creator of Peanuts, had Charlie Brown once say, but why on us in between? Okay. So, V'lashem v'reshis rabbah, Vuras geshamin letzadikim l'shoyim utchias hamesim letzadikim bilvad. Then he goes on. So in other words, it's utchias hamesim is not a worldwide phenomenon. Only some people. Then he goes on. Ve'ech yichyu harishoyim. How could rishoyim anyway? The hamesim afil b'chayehem. Remember, the body, according to the Rambam, dies. The plant component of the soul dies forever. The animal component of the soul dies forever. The only thing which remains in the person what would be the intellect. So one way you can understand this is that Tchias HaMeisim would be something like what God would do is then restore the body to the intellect that's still there the whole time. V'kach Amar Aleim HaShalom Rishayim Afil B'chayim Kruim Meisim. The tzaddikim afilu misasan kruim chayim. They are still alive because the intellect remains. Vida she'adam yamus behechlet v'yaparid lama shehurkav mimenu. The rest, you know, the body just disintegrates. You know, where have all the flowers gone? So it just the body just goes into decomposes. Now, so the Ram soon talks about tchias hamesim. Now I know there are those that say all this also is an oblique reference to Olam Haba. You know, but there's no way, if you argue that, there's no way to counter that argument. He writes Tchias HaMeisim, right? He does not write Olam Haba. So you want to say that, you know, again, the thoroughgoing esotericists, the people that say the Ram, you know, really had subversive views, so they just, you know, I could quote 1,000 passages like this, and I'll just say, well, that's all to fool you, right? But again, so just to be very careful, when he says a kfar be arnuhu, it's not true that he's lying. He did discuss it before. Okay, now it is true, what as the Rambam writes in Tchias, in Maimon Tchias HaMeisim, that resurrection is not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is Olam Haba, survival of the individual material intellect. Right? That's the goal. But, and you read the Rambam in Maimon Tchias HaMeisim, you can claim, and has been claimed, that Chilvus doesn't really fit. In other words, because it's not, because they're going to die anyway. Right? So really, what's the point? The Rambam says, the point is, and this goes back to the original issue of the double faith theory. We have a psukim in Sefer Daniel. Daniel is part of our Tanakh. He says that, he doesn't want to bring 80 weak rayas, but there are psukim in Daniel. Rabim Mishene Afar Yakitsu. There will be people that will get up from the dead. Right? Okay, so that will be a miracle at the culmination of Jewish history, Mos HaMashiach, to demonstrate to the world that God, through His will, can change nature. Now again, once you believe that God, with His will, created the world, created the universe, then it's a very easy move to say He could do this also. But it's not going to be all people, only be some people, and they're going to die again, and that's it. So, and there's really no good answer to the point, but so then why is it an Iker at all? Okay, so you just say that it's basically connected to Yemos HaMashiach. In other words, we believe that, let's be very, very careful, we believe that the laws of nature are not going to change. You know, the lion will still eat up lambs if it's, if we're not talking about a metaphor for world peace, right? But this miracle, this os, will exist. Now, Maimon Tchias HaMeisim, with someone named Jacob Teicher, he wrote an essay, I think 1942 or so, saying that Maimon Tchias HaMeisim is a fraud. It was not even written by the Rambam. So then another scholar named Isaiah Zana wrote an article called A Scrutiny of the Charges of Forgery on the Maimon Tchias HaMeisim, and he, from a philological point of view, also refuted Teicher's argument. But again, I think part of the whole discussion revolves around the point that the people like Teicher say the Rambam couldn't have really believed in Tchias HaMeisim, right? Once, and you don't even have to be a radical Straussian to assume this. Once you say the Rambam really didn't believe in Tchias, couldn't believe in Tchias HaMeisim, so whatever evidence he did is going to be considered fraudulent. So there are really three views about the Maimon Tchias HaMeisim. View number one is Teicher, he didn't write it. Someone named Naomi Leah Goldfeld wrote a book on Maimonides Treatise of Resurrection. She was a Talmidah of Teicher, so she continues Teicher's approach. Then there's another approach, the Rambam did write Maimon Tchias HaMeisim, but he didn't mean what he wrote. So it comes down to the same thing. In other words, he wrote it, but he didn't believe it. But then the third view is that the Rambam did write it, and he did, mean what he said. The Rambam's view of eschatology is sufficiently different than the Ramban, and it's sufficiently dismissive of so many midrashim. You're not going to win influence. You're not going to win friends, influence people among people that take every Medrash literally in any event. Remember, the Rambam's most Mashiach is very. It's not power. It's just simply you'll have more room, more time to study Torah and philosophy. And the Rambam's idea again, the ultimate telos is Olam Haba, right? That's his ultimate eschatological goal. Tchias HaMeisim, it will happen, but it's not that important. Okay, so that's what the Rambam says. Yeah.
He has to have 13 of them, right?
Some people say that. I don't think so. After the Rambam writes 13, you say, oh, you see the three 13s. The 13 Midas Shatar and Dreshes by him, and then there's 13 Midas Shatar and Shparach. Those are the 13 principles. I don't think he has to have 13. Right, I know people say, right, that, well, 14 with free will, it's 14, drop that. I don't think there's any need after to have 13.
Okay, the next question is he, when he says this, I mean, is something different about this Ikar than philosophical Ikar at the beginning?
Yeah,
this is like a, not Musar, but I mean, it's prescriptive, it's right?
Well, Mashiach also, in that sense, it's like it's the point that it's really talking about Jewish history, that we have a philosophy of history. Those, the first five we discussed don't even have to be Jewish for the first five.
Right.
The next two, Nevuah and even Moshe, in other words, there is idea of prophecy. There is an idea of, Moshe was the greatest prophet. So now we start segueing already into the Jewish people. Then 8 and 9 is there is this law, the most perfect organization of social relations between human beings, right, that Moshe grasped, right, and then presented to the people. And then that law is forever. So those are somewhat specifically Jewish. That's the next four. Then you have about God's relationship with the world, right? That he knows what's going on, and that there and that there is reward and punishment, right? And then the last two, you have Mashiach and Tchias HaMeisim. Right.
So the nature is different, but also.
Okay, so Dr. Hyman, his article on the Shlosha Esrei Ikrim pointed that out. But again, just because the nature is different doesn't mean that he didn't believe in those particularistic ones.
What about the idea that he's poskening? In other words, is he? Could you say he's sort of a halacha? In other words,
he's not
philosophizing, where he's sort of autonomous, right? And the guide, he's sort of autonomous.
Yeah.
You know, like Leibowitz makes the point that when you when he paskins, he's a judge. He's stuck with the law, and he interprets the law, and applies the law, codifies the law. He doesn't make up the law.
100% right. No,
this is what he believed. Well, he may have been, he may have felt the weight of Jewish.
But
jurisprudence.
But I'm saying, but did he believe? No, it's like this. Once you believe, I hear you. But once you believe that Iker 8 is true, right? So, it was like this. The Rambam had a philosophic basis for believing the double faith theory, right? So eight is true, they're, according to him, that Moses was the greatest prophet. He got this law. Nine is that the laws are eternal, right? So again, so he believed that. So therefore, for example, like we discussed, Lawrence Berman, wrote that dissertation. The Rambam secretly believed that Karbonos, are going to not happen again. So again, he writes about Kivin Karbono. So again, it's your choice to say that, he didn't believe it. But the Rambam says it's going to happen. But the point is, nine obviously doesn't have the same necessity that there is, coming from prior principles like cosmological proof of existence of God. Once you assume eight, you assume, and he says nine also. Nine is for all time. That means the data in the Torah is true, right? So again, so we have now Sefer Daniel. Sefer Daniel was accepted as a Jewish text, right? But I'm saying it's so I agree that the Rambam is bound by what he sees in the Book of Daniel. But does that mean that he really believed that the Book of Daniel is false? He just feels an achrayus.
We know that eating fish and meat together doesn't hurt us, but we know that's a halacha. So when your son asks you, what do you do? You don't have to, we don't agree it affects me. Okay, that's way past that. But it's still a halacha that you don't eat meat and fish together.
Okay,
so that's the halacha, whether I sort of like.
No, I understand.
But of analysis.
I'm not sure where you're going with this. No, it's like this. But a text. A true text, once you say a text is true, it's either it's true in a literal sense or it is true in a metaphorical sense. Right?
It's true in a normative sense.
But it also has to mean something. Not just in, words like, it is normative also, but what does the text mean? What do the verses in the Book of Daniel mean?
We may not know what they mean content-wise.
I don't
have to believe them, right? Because they're part of the structure, the part of the system.
I understand, but again, I'm pushing a little bit. We have to, in other words, see, Strauss always says, necessary beliefs, Ram said, of course, they're false.
No,
they're just necessary. Right. So that's good. We have to believe them. You're right. Obviously, the force to believe them is the psukim in Sefer Daniel. Right. Okay, but given the Ram says, given this system, we have these psukim in the Book of Daniel. But given that, according to my system, double faith theory, so this also has to be true. So, is it a contradiction to anything philosophically to believe that God, can make this miracle? No. Okay, so therefore, the pressure, I'll grant you the pressure, but then he concluded that it really is true.
Break down in the particulars because you're sort of describing it. And as the problem is what is the sort of description of what it means, not the essence of what it means. Right? We know that he can make it so.
Yeah.
We know that philosophically.
He know he can do it. And we have these psukim that seem to say he is doing it. Right? So
what does it mean? In other words, the content of it is sort of hard to describe.
You, all right.
It's subject to a lot of...
Right, that, 100%, 100%.
Sort of, but that's okay, because it's like a lens. You're just trying to get it right and trying to focus.
Okay, okay, right. But I'm saying there's no... My point... See, what the Rambam didn't do, again, that this would have been a very, very easy move, is to say, and but he didn't do that. He said, there's nothing exoteric in him that did. They didn't say that, just like Hashem Yoshav is not literal, Hashem Omad is literally. These Psukim Daniel don't refer to actual physical resurrection, but they refer to, somehow, survival of the intellect. Okay, so the Rambam never said that. And he did it so many. He did that with so many psukim. It would have been a very easy move. He did it 100 times. He could have done it 101 times. He didn't do it, right? So that's what I think comes all the way back again to the double faith theory. In other words, the Rambam believed that the results of philosophic inquiry are true, and the Rambam believed that what it says in Tanakh is true. And so we know God can do it. As Manica said again, once you stress God's will, etc., it becomes very easy. So he can do it. The psukim say he will do it. So we will accept that that will happen. Now, because of his philosophic overview, it does become the ultimate goal of reality, like the Ramban says, right? You know, sometimes you would see years ago, in the Jewish press, right? Everyone in New York used to buy the Jewish press, and no one admitted that they would buy it. Oh, we just get it for the advertisements. So in the Jewish press, sometimes they would have like little yard signs, and people would write, "Oh, we can't wait to be with you together when Tchias Amesim comes, and we're all going to be together," right? So the Rambam does not say that Tchias HaMesim is the ultimate goal of everything. Does not say that all human beings will then have this rarefied new type of existence with a better type of goof. It's going to happen. It is. Limited. The people are going to die again. And that's it.
But I think in the moment of Tchias HaMesim fight...
I feel... maybe do another time. I don't have it for in front of everyone, so we won't do that now. But anyway,
Doesn't he say explicitly that it's a Kabbalah? That's why we accept it.
It's a Kabbalah. Right. Yep. It's a Kabbalah. In other words, it's a tradition. So therefore, we it's a tradition. Therefore, there's no
real double faith. There's only double faith theory if you go all the way back and you assume that the Torah is given and there could be a lawgiver and so on and so forth. Then you can.
But
independently,
it is a Kabbalah, right? There's nothing pushing us to take the psukim out of the literal sense. There's nothing pushing us. Certain things we have to take, right? The Bilam and the donkey, we can take that literally. That's absurd. Avram seeing angels with his eyes, that's absurd. Well, right? This is not a proposition of what human beings are doing, right? It's in fact, let me stress that point even more strongly. It's ultimately not an anthropological point of view. It's about God. God is able to reassemble the molecules of people, and it will happen.
But for somebody who doesn't accept...
Oh, 100%!
That the donkey speaks... If you don't accept the donkey speaks...
He doesn't accept the donkey...
Then it becomes very difficult to sort of say, I don't accept the donkey speaks.
Why not?
Although it says in the Torah, but God will rearrange the molecule. There's a lack of consistency there.
But again, it's not philosophically inconsistent. Again, it's not all the cases where he says, look, I agree that we could have understood. We could have felt that the Rambam. We would not have been surprised had the Rambam rejected Tchias HaMesim's wonders of Ikrim. Right? We would not have been surprised. But there's nothing. Again, that's what I believe. There's nothing philosophically absurd about it. And there is something absurd about having a donkey speak. There is something absurd about having seeing seeing angels. All the cases in which all the cases in 346 in the Morah, which the Rambam says you cannot interpret these psukim literally because it is absurd and because philosophical truth is true, and therefore there is nothing in the Torah that is absurd. We reject the credo quia absurdum, and therefore these psukim have to be reinterpreted. Therefore, the whole issue of Yaakov and the wrestling with the angel is also all a dream. So, but there's not again, but there is nothing absurd about God making this miracle.
Okay, the difference is because one's in the future and potential. And one's in situ, present.
Uh-huh.
We have to say that the scripture of the present is absurd because it contradicts logic.
Right. That's
right.
And
Mashiach or Tchias Amesim is like potential.
No. But the Rambam still says laws. The Rambam says except for this miracle, it's not going to be a world in which the laws of nature no longer exist. He doesn't go that far either.
One does get the sense that he's locked into the corner.
You're right. It doesn't fit. Now that I said immediately, it doesn't fit, but it's not absurd. You can't. Now, like this, if you want,
it's inconsistent.
What does inconsistent mean?
It's inconsistent to say that the lamb will lie with the wolf is or the lion. That is metaphorical. People rising from the dead. That is not metaphorical.
But
that's inconsistent. So if you believe that inconsistency, borders on the absurd.
No. I wouldn't say. No, consistency is the hobgoblin of small minds. Emerson, that's something else. But again, look. All right, look, what can I say? Herbert Davidson has a discussion about all this in his latest book of the... In his book of the Rambam. He makes the following point. He says that in the Rambam, in Maimon Chiz Meisim, he's like a little angry. It's like you see, he gets angry. He said it's a side of the Rambam that, you know, we were surprised to see. The Rambam, of course, saying, you know, you should never get angry, and Moshe Rabbeinu's one sin, but he's angry. So my whole life, you know, like his whole life, he tried to put together this vision of Judaism, and now he's getting attacked, you know, on this top, you know, on this topic. So I'm saying, I don't know if I'm right, but the very fact that the Rambam is coming out angry here, which is shows that, you know,
he really believes it.
He was so angry because he was saying what he believes. He's angry how he got misconstrued and he's pushed here, pushed there. But again, I want to conclude with the point that again the Tchias HaMesim, again it's a miracle from God. It doesn't violate any proposition. Now, so your point about the Kabbalah, apparently there is no Kabbalah that Vigar Ze'ev im Keves has to be worldwide. You know, the animals won't bother each other. I went to the Moisey's house. They have four dogs and two cats. And I thought, you know, they should be killing each other, but apparently they get along. Now,
they're all vegetarian.
Now, another point. The Rambam does mention, in terms of Gar Zev and Kevis, he says, you know what? Maybe it's talking about Yerushalayim. Right? If you look carefully in that in the Rambam there, he says, maybe we can even take the idea that there's not going to be strife among the animals in your, you know, the circumscribed area in Yerushalayim, that will be the case, and you know you try to naturalize it as much as possible. So in other words, if anything, you know, it's not saying that, well, I'm taking Gar Zev im Keves in a metaphorical, not literal way, so I'll take Tchias HaMesim also. The Rambam himself goes the other way. He says maybe even Gar Zev im Keves could be understood. He quotes the Mishpat in the in the Beis HaMikdash, that certain things there, I don't want to say, I don't have it in front of me, but the point is that might indicate that the Rambam, again, did want to take the, as long as they would not be absurd, the psukim literally. If they were absurd, it is absurd to say that you plant and cakes come and baked cakes come out. That's absurd. That's a violation of nature, and that will never ever happen.
The Rambam says this is also a violation of nature.
But okay, all right. What can I say? Right, but there is no. All right, but he said, "Yeah, the pasuk in Daniel, you have a Kabbalah." Okay,
it's a Kabbalah, but it is the one.
Okay, it's an exception, 100%. It doesn't right. It doesn't fit. But the fact that it doesn't fit doesn't mean that he didn't believe it.
No, right.
So that's a very important point. Let me make one other point. Yeah. Maybe we'll discuss that tomorrow in the Kudin Shir. You know, the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva mentions that it's a bad thing to deny Tchiyas HaMeisim. So I just you know, when people say, "Oh, the Rambam didn't mention it in any of his other works," let me just read to you Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Gimel Halacha Vav, the Elu She'ein Lahem. Excuse me. Chelik liyolam haba, ela nichrosim va'odim v'nidonim agolda rishon v'chatam la'olam only olamim. Right, because the man. Remember, according to the Rambam, if you have defective ideas, so your intellect doesn't attain that level of perfection that can allow it to survive. So we'll discuss. We'll discuss all these at length. Haminim va'apikarsim va'kofrim b'torah va'kofrim b'tchias ha'mesim v'bias ha'goel. Right? So he says it. Right? So again, Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva, then ha'mumorim achti ha'rabim va'porshim darchi tzibor va'osel veros b'yad roma v'farhesik ha'yokim ha'moshim ha'tzileim ala tzibor shloshem shemayim shovchei domim ba'li loshen hora va'moshech or loso. All those categories. Now, the Rambam does say, right before, he says, "Chaykol Yisrael Shav Nasem Ruben Donim Also Kvi Chataihem Yesh Mechelik Liyolam Haba Shukol Yisrael Yesh Mechelik Liyolam Haba Afbi Shachadu Shneimar Vameich Kulam Sadekiim Liyolam Yusha Oretz." What is Oretz? What's the land? It's a mushal, Eretz Zu mushal, Kolomar, Eretz Achayim, the land of the living, which means V'u Olam Haba, right? And then he writes, there's universalism coming up, V'chein Chasidei Umos HaOlam, Yesh Lahem Chelek LiOlam Haba. So, the Rambam again has Olam Haba, he has Tchias HaMesim. So it's clear the two separate concepts, and he mentions, you're right, it was pressure, you know, but again, the pressure doesn't mean that he felt, the pressure doesn't mean that he felt it was false. Second. Yeah.
He also says, though, in the guide repeatedly, you speak to people differently according to their station. Right?
Right.
So, I mean, he's saying this in a popular sort of way.
Right.
He's putting together a mnemonic, but like a tool. You know, speaking to people who couldn't conceive of the world without it. I don't know.
But let's put it this way. But he minimizes it so much. Ramban is so angry at him. You know, it's like this. Why? One of Shach. If he didn't believe it, why did he have to say it's only for a few people? If he didn't believe it, Why did he have to say, well, they're going to die anyway? If he didn't...
Pedagogically, he's teaching people. He's quantifying.
Right.
He's taking a popular belief,
right,
maybe.
Yeah.
And something that's in part in the system. I mean, he didn't make it up.
Right.
Okay, he's taking something and he's sort of like defining it down and educating people to sort of elevate them. And if you've got to believe it, you've got to, you know, believe on the low level, you take the low level. If you're able to accept the high level, which I don't mean that it doesn't exist, but it exists in a far more abstract way, in a more sophisticated way, more rational way, then you're able to grab that as well.
I mean, there's some truth in what David's saying, because there's that professor at JTS, is a Talmud of Heschel. He wrote a book, The Death of Death.
Gilman,
that's right, Neil Gilman.
Yeah.
And the
that's the proof that I said something correct, the guy from JTS.
Yeah. I'll let you two guys
fight it out now.
But Gilman's point is, he shows that in the end of the 20th century, all these Reformed theologians, they come back to belief in Tchias HaMesim because they can't possibly envisage a life without their personality. In other words, to live in the next world without having your own personality, just have your interests.
Rambam said that's ridiculous.
Without your personality, it's too much.
Rambam said that's ridiculous.
But David says, you know, speaking to popular people, so this is like a double backhanded comment here.
Yeah.
Because those, in other words, what Gilman is saying is that, you know, at the end of the day, everybody wants to feel that they live on as an individual. Not just as a separate individual.
Why not as an individual intellect?
Because an intellect doesn't have a personality.
Who needs a personality?
Okay, most people need a personality. I mean, in other words, that's good.
Who says an intellect doesn't have a personality?
Does an intellect have a personality? Does a seichel anittel have a personality?
There's the specificity. The Ralbag already says no two intellects. Again, we discussed it the other time. No two intellects know the exact same thing. So everyone is unique, right? The principium individuation is every intellect's a little different, right? So that itself is a principle of individuation. So maybe that's enough.
But does everybody want? Does the Rambam believe that? I mean, that's one.
Okay, that's another discussion. So again, I'm firm enough to believe that the Rambam does believe in the potential. I certainly believe the Rambam believed in Olam Haba, and everything the Rambam says that leads us to believe that I believe that the Rambam believed that there will be individual differences in Olam Haba, like the Ralbag says. I see no reason to say that the Rambam is different than the Ralbag, which basically says the Madrega of the individual in Olam Haba will be commensurate with his or her intellect. But
that's different from saying that different intellects have personality.
No, but the individuation. Okay, right. So I'm saying that there's something called the fact that what I know is what I know when no one else knows, right? But this is a silly question because other people can see. So I'm saying I could see this. You're saying people can't. So I'm not really interested why these theologians can't conceive because they need personality. You know, okay, so that's what they need. That's not my problem. So let's just sum up by going back to the Rambam. Look, there is something different about Tchias Mesim than any other Ikar. That's granted. The Rambam does say, I discussed it before, and he does discuss it before, so therefore the claim that he was simply lying with Rabbi Arnuhu is not true. That's number one. Number two, the Rambam writes again in Hilchos Tshuva, again, covered Tchias HaMesim. The Rambam does minimize Tchias HaMesim, and I'm makir that it doesn't fit the Rambam's other pronouncements. But, you know, again, the fact that it doesn't fit doesn't necessarily mean that he felt that it was false. I believe, I'll conclude with an application of something Herbert Davidson said. He said that, look, the Rambam certainly davened three times a day, and he also said, right? So, presumably, the Rambam believed that there will be a return to Korbanos, which is exactly what he wrote. So, taking that approach, the Rambam certainly davened three times a day, and the second bracha in Shmona Esrei is bracha to Hashem v'chayei hameisim. So, true, it's in a more limited vein. True, maybe doesn't fit some of his other ideas, but I believe that the Rambam did believe that this future miracle of Tchiyas HaMeisim will happen, and it is indicative of our true understanding of the world, of the universe that that God created, and which He sustains with His acts of infinite will. Okay, we'll stop here.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. So tomorrow night.